The Committee on Health Policy will now come to order. Celia, please call the roll. Here.
Sedamo, Senator Benacuesta, Senator Book, Senator Huckel, Senator Hudson, Senator Mumford, Senator Powell, quorum present.
Thank you, Celia. Senator Huckel is excused. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance led by Senator Mumford. Please silence all of your electronic devices, and anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please complete an appearance form and give it to the administrative assistant. Should you select to waive your speaking time, which we highly encourage, your position will be read to the record. First, we will take up tab one. We are going to first do the confirmation of the State Surgeon General, Dr. Celeste Phillip. Her information is in your binder under tab one, and I know that Dr. Phillip has visited with all of you in your offices. Since you know our Surgeon General, I am just going to open up the floor for questions. So, members, questions of Dr. Phillip. Oh, I'm sorry. It is a custom of the Florida Senate for the appointee to take an oath of affirmation at confirmation hearings. And so at this time, Dr. Phillip, would you please come forward, raise your right hand to be sworn in to testify before this committee. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Dr. Phillip. And would you like to begin? Or actually, we're not going to have any opening remarks. Members, questions. We're going to go directly to questions of Dr. Phillip. Senator Book, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Young. How are you, Dr. Phillip?
Good, thank you.
Good. Good to see you. And I want to thank you for all the time that we've spent back and forth talking about some of the concerns that I had about leadership and some of the issues that we've talked about. And so, you know, I was not going to speak today or ask any questions. However, this last weekend, there was a big issue in my district in Pembroke Pines relating to water quality and some of the issues that they were having. And when my mayor called the Department of Health, he was told that the only way that somebody from the department would come to their commission meeting and talk to our constituents was if they had a senator call directly or a House member. That was very troubling to him. That's very troubling to me. But the department that deemed Pembroke Pines' water unsafe to drink if you were pregnant or immunocompromised, that was an issue that they were having, that they didn't have an ability to reach out to the department directly and have somebody come out and address their concerns. And when I did call the department, I know you were out of town, and somebody went, apparently it didn't go very well, and it was very confrontational, which again causes me some concerns. Could you just speak to, you know, I will confirm you, I will, you know, vote for a recommendation. However, some of those concerns still I am left with because of that leadership, and you're up there, and so want to make sure that we can talk through some of those concerns.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Well, Senator Book, I'm sorry to hear that the response was not one of, if we need to speak to the appropriate individuals and get back to you, we will do that. We have made a concerted effort to be more organized in how we address certain issues that arise in communities, and I think maybe have swung too far to say that some local conversations, which are appropriate, don't always need to involve the state office. And we are working through a balance to make sure that we are all aware of what particular issues are in any given community and that appropriate resources and expertise are available. In some cases where we have situations that are not as common, having the ability to speak with an expert within the state office is often needed, and we should be able to say that, and I don't fault the person who gave the answer. I think they probably thought that was the right answer, but I'm sorry if it came across as us not being wanting to be a part of the solution. The meeting, I got some feedback from our staff that attended that meeting, and their perception is that, yes, there was certainly a lot of concern from some of the residents. When we have increases in certain elements above their normal value. Communicating risk can be challenging. Oftentimes there's not immediate risk, but over time, exposure over many months or many years can lead to certain increases in certain health outcomes. And it's not always easy to communicate what those risks are. And my takeaway from some of the articles is that that message maybe wasn't as clear to everyone, but we are working on that. And the feedback from our team members who attended is that they felt that there was an opportunity for that dialogue and that they felt that it was productive overall.
Senator Book?
Chair. And that I'm glad that you got that feedback. One of the other things that was very troubling to me, and I know troubling to many members of the commission, was that the representative from the Department of Health declined to answer any questions and continued to cite the letter that was sent out, which you're right, it's very difficult to share different chemical levels and Tetris. I felt like I needed a chemistry degree to understand and watch the commission meeting. However, when you do have something that is so highly complex and you're talking about the safety of drinking water in one of our cities, it creates a lot of fear. I mean, I have 6 or 7 news stories just from this weekend alone. And so just want to make sure that you are looking at and the department is looking at better ways to communicate some of those things and ensuring that when there is an issue, such as we had in Pembroke Pines this last weekend, that the proper folks are going and addressing those concerns of our constituents.
Yeah, I had an experience in a county where we had an elevation of a certain contaminant, and it was very distressing. We had a series of public meetings. People were angry. It's not a pleasant experience, but our role is to be there and to do our best to provide information. We have a state toxicologist that, medical toxicologist, that is a part of our team in Tallahassee, and I'd be happy to see if we can arrange some time for her to be available, and maybe we can talk through some other options to make sure that the information is understood.
Further questions?
Thank you. Just to follow up, and I appreciate that. I just want to ensure that going forward that the department is communicating with our constituents, with the population, that their concerns are being addressed. Because again, it's sometimes it's really off-putting when, you know, commissioners or folk mayors are coming to the department who sent out this letter and being told, sorry, we can't send anybody unless your House member or your senator calls. That's not acceptable, and I think that you would agree with that. And so I think that going forward, hopefully, that there's a better process put in place, and that would address some of my concerns. I know some of the fellow concerns. So thank you.
Thank you. Members, further questions? Senator Powell? No?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Dr. Phillips, for joining us today. And thank you for coming to my office. We had a great conversation not too long ago. One of my questions looms on the idea we've talked about in terms of opioids and the opioid crisis. I know that you're preparing for a listening tour. My question is, what is the end game or the end result in terms of after this listening tour, what type of action do you gather that we'll begin to take from your research?
You're recognized.
Thank you. The purpose for the local meetings is to understand within each of these 4 counties, and that's Manatee, Palm Beach, Orange, and Duval, what the local experts and those that are dealing directly with the situation in each of those communities, what are they seeing, what are the resources and support that the state can offer. In many cases, one approach is not going to be appropriate. Even within one county, there might be different individuals or different groups of people that are impacted differently, different ages, different parts of the county that might have various special considerations. And so the goal would be to listen to what those who are there every day, what they are seeing, what are the kinds of funding opportunities potentially, are there other policy decisions that they feel would be appropriate to help them, help their community. That would be the, I'd say, overall purpose of those meetings. And we're there to consider whatever it is that they think is most appropriate. Some of the requests might be the same across all four of those meetings, and others might be different. So we're there to see what is needed and what is it that each of the different agencies that will be present can offer.
Senator Powell?
Thank you, and thank you for that answer. With regard to that, are we also tapping into the knowledge base of some of the community, some of the leading community experts that have already weighed in terms of this this crisis, and using some of the solutions that they may have already provided? And I'm speaking with regard to some of the leading community experts and state experts. I know, and we've got our state attorney dealing with it in Palm Beach County, as well as one of our prevalent county commissioners, using some of the knowledge and the research that they've already had an opportunity to look into. Are we using that as well, or are we just listening towards the first step in terms of our process statewide that we're looking to generate?
You recognize.
Each of the four meetings will engage any local task force that has already been created. We've tried to identify the chairs and make sure that they are aware that we are coming. In some cases, we've already seen some documents that have come out of local work. The meeting would be an ideal time to go through some of those recommendations and see what it is that we can do to support them.
Senator Powell.
Thank you. And as our state's leading public health doctor, have you weighed in on the governor's call for a public health emergency in terms of maybe making this something, as we've done before, perhaps asking the governor for an executive order to do so?
You're recognized.
Thank you. We looked at states where public health emergencies were declared regarding opioid overdoses. And in most cases, there were two differences between Florida and those other states. The Department of Health in Florida is not considered the lead agency for mental health and substance use. That would be DCF. And in many of those other states, the Department of Health also had that role, and therefore the emergency declaration or the public health emergency allowed them to greater responsibilities under their existing authority. Secondly, some of the activities that other states have moved forward on, we've already begun the process in Florida. That being said, we are open to hearing if there are specific activities that could be tied back to a role that the department has in statute, then I think we'd certainly be open to hearing what that would look like.
Senator Powell.
Final question with regard to opioids. So is it your opinion, or is your professional thought process that we would need to engage DCF in order to move the ball along in terms of declaring the opioid crisis the type of emergency that they've done in other states?
You're right.
Thank you. The community meetings that are being held, DCF is the lead agency. They're taking the lead with organizing those discussions. Additional federal funding that they've applied for would be coming through their agency, and part of the discussion will be around how that potential funding might be used in these communities. So we certainly are there to support their efforts. And again, whatever the department, what resources we have, what expertise we have under our authority, we are there to be a part of the solution.
Further questions? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify under oath on the matter of the Senate confirmation? Seeing none, we do have a few appearance cards that I believe are waving, and so I will read these. Mary Thomas from the FMA, waving in support. Stephen Wynn, Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, waving in support. Thank you. Chris Newland, Florida Public Health Association, waving in support. I don't see him, but I know he's waving in support. Mark Landreth, not Marla, sorry, Mark, from the American Heart Association, waving in support. I saw you back there. Ron Watson from AltMed, there he is, waving in support. Thank you. Any further comments from the audience? Seeing none. Seeing no more questions from the committee and no additional witnesses, the committee is now in order. for a motion to recommend confirmation by the Florida Senate of Celeste Philip as State Surgeon General and Secretary of Health. Thank you. Thank you for that, Senator Mumford. Senator Mumford moves to recommend confirmation of Dr. Celeste Philip as State Surgeon General and Secretary of the Department of Health. Celia, please call the roll.
Senator Benacuesta, Senator Book, Senator Huckel, Senator Hudson,
yes.
Senator Mumford, Senator Powell, Senator Pasadena, Chair Young.
Yes. And members and Dr. Philip, with that vote, your confirmation moves forward to the Senate Committee on Ethics and Elections. Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much. Members, now we are moving to tab two. Under tab two, you will find information about Mr. Justin Sr., who is the governor's appointment to be Secretary of the Agency for Healthcare Administration. Mr. Sr., please come forward and raise your right hand to be sworn in to testify before this committee. Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Senior. And as we did on the prior confirmation, we will skip any opening comments and go directly to member questions. Senator Book, you are recognized for questions.
Hey.
In another world. How are you, Mr. Senior? Good.
Doing well, thanks.
Secretary, thank you. We have had a lot of time to talk with one another. And after our meeting last week where we were talking about the LIP money, we talked about the split, the $1.5 billion in the 60-40 split. I was just wondering if you could address what does that actually mean in a dollar amount, federal versus the state numbers?
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're recognized.
60-40, the 40% is the state share and 60% is the federal share. So the state share is $600 million and the federal share is $900 million. There are a number of different ways that states can come up with the state share. Traditionally, the low-income pool uses intergovernmental transfers, so it's mostly local government dollars. There's a little bit of general revenue associated with the University of Florida hospitals, but for the most part, it is intergovernmental transfers from the counties and other local taxing districts to pay for the state share.
Senator Book.
Thank you. And we talked a lot last week about some of the flexibilities that will be granted here. And I was wondering, you were working on drafting the terms and conditions and getting those to the committees. I was wondering if there was a status report on those.
You recognize.
We're planning to have more conversations this week. And we've certainly made the federal government aware of our timelines and the needs that our budgeteers have with respect to the low-income pool, and they've been very respectful of that. So we're hopeful to get some more flexibilities or whatever they're willing to do nailed down either this week or very early next week so we can share those with the House and the Senate.
Thank you so much, Mr. Senator.
Additional questions, Senator Book? No? Members, any additional questions for Mr. Senior? Mr. Powell, do you have any questions for Mr. Senior?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Senior. I know we discussed last time with regard to your, we didn't talk about this, your letter to HHS, your March letter to the federal government with regard to the letter, you started to talk about the lines, along the lines of block grants. In terms of that, How exactly would that work?
You're recognized.
Yeah. What we were discussing in that letter with respect to a traditional block grant, a lump sum of money given to the state that it can spend however it wants, we were really focusing on supplemental payments. And the things that we were trying to drive home to our federal partner were issues of fairness in supplemental payments as well as flexibility in how we spend the supplemental payments. So we weren't talking when it comes to the lump sum of cash, we weren't talking about the main Medicaid program. We were talking about things like the LIP program, the disproportionate share hospital program, and other supplemental payments like to the medical school faculty. Those payments total more than $1 billion in the state of Florida. But there's a feeling that other states have definitely come out ahead of the state of Florida in some of those money streams. When it comes to disproportionate share hospital, for example, the DSH program, we get about $220 million, give or take. New York gets $1.7 billion. California gets over a billion. Texas gets over a billion. I think Louisiana gets nearly three or four times as much as the state of Florida. So does South Carolina. So it's not just that our peer states seem to get a lot more than us. It's that other states that we would regard as quite a bit smaller than us also seem to get more dollars. That is a congressional formula. It would have to be changed by Congress. When it came to the LIP money, the last administration did give us a $607 million LIP pool, but there were a lot of restrictions on how we could spend the money. So what we were looking for was fairness in how we get treated with respect to supplemental payments, and we were looking for a lot more freedom and flexibility for our legislature and our governor to figure out how to draw up the money and how to spend the money so that it best fit the needs of the state of Florida. And that's really what we were talking about with that with respect to that part of the letter.
Senator Powell, further questions? Members, further questions? At this time, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify under oath on the matter of the Senate confirmation? No one. We have a few appearance cards. Paul Wharton from Flagler Hospital. I assume that you're waving in support. Very good. Mary Thomas from FMA, waving in support. Stephen Wynn, Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, waving in support. Chris Newland, Florida Public Health Association, still not here, but he's waving in support. Rivers Buford, American Heart Association, waving in support. Bob Stalos, Florida Healthcare Association, waves in support. Ron Watson, Florida Renal Coalition, waves in support. Thank you all very much. Seeing no more questions from the committee and no additional witnesses or audience participation, the committee is now in order for a motion to recommend confirmation by the Florida Senate of Justin Senior as Secretary of the Agency for Healthcare Administration. Thank you, Senator Mumford. Senator Mumford moves to recommend confirmation of Justin Senior as Secretary of the Agency for Healthcare Administration. Celia, please call the roll.
Senator Beniquisto, Senator Book, yes. Senator Huckel, Senator Hudson, yes. Senator Mumford, yes. Senator Powell, Senator Pasademo, Chair Young.
Yes. And Mr. Senior, with that vote, your confirmation moves forward to the Committee on Ethics and Elections. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, and thank you to the
Thank you. And members, I'm sure you noticed that this is our last meeting, and we have done some good work, but there are those here that have done more work than anyone, and that is our incredible staff led by the wonderful Sandra Stovall, and we have just want to take a moment and say thank you for all your hard work and just such wonderful people to be around, and we appreciate you very, very much. So thank you for that. And with that, if there is no further business before us, Senator Mumford moves that we adjourn. Show the motion is adopted without objection. This meeting is adjourned.